Good morning, everybody. Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, a brand new Nobel Peace Prize winner, Lima Bowie. She is a fascinating woman. She's not a household name in the United States, to be sure. But now as a Nobel Peace Prize winner, we have the opportunity to get to know her better. She brought peace and justice to Liberia with lessons for us all. Lima Bowie later. We have Matt Taibbi and Nomi Prinz, writers who I guess we could say were occupying Wall Street before it was fashionable. We have legendary New York subway photographer Bruce Davidson with a slideshow of his and some of your subway images. You'll be able to follow along today on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And in just a minute, we have New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who's got some job creation plans. Gave a very interesting speech about some of them this morning. She even has a tip about 50 good job openings in Dumbo. Now, New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, my first guest today, fresh off giving an ambitious speech this morning at a breakfast held by the Association for a Better New York. She tied together Occupy Wall Street, the concept of American exceptionalism, to which she added New York exceptionalism, to red tape for small businesses and the city bureaucracy, to the city's burgeoning tech sector, even mentioning a company in Dumbo that has about 50 job openings, mostly for programmers. Yes, we'll get specific as we talk about that and more with City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. And oh, yes, she probably wants to be the next mayor. So keep that in mind. Hi, Speaker Quinn. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
And we'll talk a little politics later.
Okay.
But what was this breakfast today, and why did you open your speech with a reference to Occupy Wall Street?
Well, today was a breakfast at the Association for a Better New York, and actually we had reached out to Abney a little bit ago because I felt it was important that we in the council put out a jobs agenda.
Is that a business group?
It's a business civic group. Yeah, it's actually a group that was, I think, very relevant to right now. Lou Rudin, the late Lou Rudin, founded during the fiscal crisis of the 70s to bring the business community together to help the city weather that storm. And I think really one of the most important things we can be doing now in the council is expanding our work around job growth. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. And, you know, I think it's very relevant to Occupy Wall Street because the issue that's being raised, I think, by Occupy Wall Street, forget all the specifics for a second, the larger, more important issue is a loss of hope and a loss of belief, I think, or fear that the part of the American dream that says if you work hard, if you study, if you work hard, you can create a better life for yourself and your children. And people are worried, really on all sides of the political spectrum, that that is slipping away. And we have to respond to that. And the best way to respond to that is to do what we can to create employment opportunities at all different levels of the educational and economic spectrum.
And so your speech, for example, was mostly not about tearing down excesses, which is, I think, what Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, is focusing on. Real excesses,
right,
that you would probably,
right,
agree exist,
right,
but rather building up new businesses in New York, especially biotechnology,
yep,
and media technology. What's happening in these sectors? How much are we becoming Silicon Valley East?
Well, you know, tech is exploding, and New York's getting a lot of the benefit of it, but we just can't rest on our laurels. We have to work hard to make New York City the tech capital of the world, and there's specific things we can do. So, for example, we have tremendous demand right now in digital media. There's a company in Dumbo called Huge, which is kind of funny that Huge is in Dumbo. And they've gone from 30 to 300 in about 2 years.
Employees.
They right now are looking for 50 programmers. They can't fill them. They've created their own training academy, $500,000 a year.
Why not? I could fill my caller board with 50 out-of-work programmers in 30 seconds.
Because, well, there's two reasons. One, these folks are not necessarily always the people that advertise in the New York Times with job ads. So there's a connecting the dots. Two, sometimes if you haven't been working for a year or two, you're not up to date on the right languages. So there's two things we're going to do. One, with a group called Hack NY, we're going to create a high-tech job placement company, mm-hmm, effort that'll place those out-of-work programmers and students in New York City jobs.
That's going to be a city-funded program?
We're going to fund it in part by city, in part by private donations we're going to get. Two, working with CUNY, who's a terrific partner in this, we are going to start a programming language certificate program. So if you've been out of work for 2 years as a programmer, you don't know Ruby Rails or whatever the new language is, it's okay. You're going to be able to go to CUNY, just a couple months, take a class, get certified, and we've talked to Huge about this. Would you take a certificate, for example? They said, absolutely. It's a brilliant idea.
And that's not in place yet, but you have Chancellor Matthew Goldstein on board?
Absolutely. All of the CUNY programs we mentioned and the CUNY folks were at the speech this morning, totally on board. And that's a way. And, you know, look, you don't even necessarily, if you talk to some of these digital media folks, they don't really care if you actually even have a college degree. If you're a good programmer, you're self-taught, you take the certificate program, you're going to be good to go for them. The other thing that we're hearing is biotech is the next big tech area. Now, high tech, a lot of venture capital money in there. Lots, which is great. Keep it coming. Biotech, not as much. So we are going to work with the state to create an angel investor tax credit for bio and med tech, which is the next area that could grow to bring some of the venture capital money there to create jobs. And people need to understand these type of tech companies, yeah, there's big jobs where you need fancy degrees, et cetera. But the idea, the invention, the discovery becomes a product. Those are basically manufacturing jobs.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. Why do we need that in biotech? I would guess that the pharmaceutical companies are investing everything they can in biotechnology because it results in new medications they can make money from.
What we've heard from smaller to medium-sized biotech companies and medtech startups is they're just not getting the same type of venture capital. And they're the folks who are more likely to open their efforts here in New York City than some of the bigger companies.
Who are we competing with geographically?
Well, California. And Boston, our big competitors. Boston, now we beat them recently. We were number four in high-tech investment. We're now number three, pushing Boston down. But it's really a California, New York, Boston battle at the moment.
The media tech sector here, I don't think everybody realizes this yet, is burgeoning because New York is already the media and advertising
Absolutely.
Capital of the world.
Absolutely. And we need to seize that. See, part of what the speech was about was us in government seeing where things are trending and pushing it along and getting those trends to be more inclusive of all types of New Yorkers at all different economic and education levels. Let me give you one example. Dumbo. Tons of tech right now.
Back to Dumbo.
Right, back to Dumbo. Brooklyn Navy Yard. Tons of tech. They don't have enough space in the Navy Yard or Dumbo to fill all of the companies that are interested. Huge, Etsy, etc. Look on the map. Downtown Brooklyn, we have empty old back office offices there. So let's make a Brooklyn tech triangle by working together through urban planning.
You invoked American exceptionalism in your speech today, a kind you believe in and a kind you don't. This whole idea of American exceptionalism is usually something we hear from foreign policy types, not urban city council speakers. Why did you get into that?
Because I think, you know, at its core, what American exceptionalism is about, if you really think about the beginnings of it, how it was part of the foundation of this country, part of the American narrative, it's about optimism and a belief that we can do better for future generations. Now, it gets co-opted to whitewash all of our mistakes, past and present, but I want us to seize on that optimism. And I have that optimism for our country, but more importantly for New York, which is why in the speech I talked about New York exceptionalism. Because I think what we hear really in underneath all of the specifics of the protesters is a loss of optimism, and we need to harness what's good about New York to re-engender that optimism by putting people to work.
And you use the term New York exceptionalism.
Yep.
I know that's real. What did you mean by it?
You know, what I meant by that is New Yorkers are the most dogged, persistent, hardworking people out there. This is a city that's been built by generations of immigrants who came here believing that the promise of this city was that if they worked hard, their families would have a better life. And that hard work, that support of others, that hope, that dogged persistence still exists. We just need to harness it. Like we talked about a guy in the speech, Bob McClure. He's the head of McClure Pickles. He would drive his pickles around the city and he would see other food folks distributing their stuff. And he said, this is stupid. We have half-empty trucks. Let's put all our stuff together, deliver together. We're all save money. That's exceptional. A business person who isn't just worried about himself, but is worried about his neighbors and his industry. That's the heart of New York exceptionalism, and we can harness it.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, we have 2 minutes left. Two-minute drill. How do you think the city under Mayor Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Kelly has done so far in dealing with the Occupy Wall Street protesters?
I think they're doing the best they can. It's a tough situation, and I think Police Commissioner Kelly is doing the best he can.
If you were mayor, would you be doing anything differently?
You know, I was really worried about kind of a showdown on Friday, and I was spoke to the folks at Brookfield Property. I was very glad we got some period of time to have negotiations, to have discussions. And I think that's really what needs to happen to try to compromise the complaints the neighbors are raising, et cetera. I think that idea of we're doing it now was not a good move. And I was clear about that. And I think this calming down period is much better.
Too much police presence? Occupied Wall Street feels occupied. And even the venture capitalist Fred Wilson wrote a piece about that.
You know, I don't know the answer to that question, right? That's a police question. And I have a lot of faith in Ray Kelly. The goal here is to make sure the protesters have the ability to exercise their First Amendment right. When you do that in civil disobedience, as I've done about a dozen times, you get arrested. You need to balance that with other people's ability to go about their life. And I think that balance, even with a great police commissioner, is tough. And you need to constantly keep reevaluating how you're doing.
The living wage bill debate. Is that still before city council?
It is. I announced yesterday that because the bill has recently, by the proponents, been significantly changed and amended, I think the next right thing is to have a public hearing on the bill. It's going to be in November. Check this date, but I think it's November 22nd, the Tuesday of Thanksgiving weekend at 10 a.m.
Is there a contradiction in you giving a whole speech about greasing the wheels for business development today, then tying their hands by mandating higher wages above the minimum wage? I think Mayor Bloomberg is against this bill as a drag on new job creation.
He is. You know, one of the things I said in the speech is that overregulation is bad for business, right? And can cause new businesses to die on the vine. And we've worked to change that through regulatory review and something we're calling NYC Business Link. The point of the hearing is to look at that question and answer it. We want to bring people out of poverty. We want to bring wages up. But we don't want to, you know, contract job growth. That's a tough needle to thread, and that's the focus of the public hearing. Does this new draft thread that needle in the right way? I don't know the answer to that question yet. That's why I want to have a full public hearing.
City Council Speaker, 2013 mayoral hopeful, Christine Quinn. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, we have Matt Taibbi and Nomi Prinz, writers who are occupying Wall Street in print before it was fashionable. Stay with us.